Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
All right, yeah, so, okay. Lee, why don't you count us in?
All right, I will. One.
Two.
Three. What a pause. Oh,
the
my God.
Fucking... Seth, what the hell was that? You like, this stays in. This stays.
I need an old timey click stopwatch for this shit.
Way more normal than usual.
No, you do it. And then I have to match it. And then no, that doesn't even make sense because the person. Yeah, no, that's
no.
Oh God,
no,
it's fine. It's fine.
You
it's fine.
Did it more normal vocally, but you had this little stinker fucking look on your face when you did it. It's like
you knew what you did.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I could see your eyes. I could see your eyes, and I knew what you were thinking is this will fuck with them.
I don't think explicitly.
No, it was.
I think it's more like I'm a chaos demon, right? Like I'm just a little.
You are that.
Like an
we've extra. Never argued that point.
Yeah, so. we're all in agreement. So yeah, episode 273, I guess.
Yeah, sure is.
Seth right. is here, of course.
Everyone's
as always.
Mad at me
because of your behavior, Seth. We're mad because of your behavior.
Whose fault is that?
Yours. I guess you might just be a product of your environment. You know, your loving home. With your loving partner and your home that you own and can afford and your pets that you love and the place that you like living. I wonder what your environment, your terrible environment that you're in.
That must be
the fault.
Don't forget about all my cool plants.
Scathing.
And your cool plants that bring you joy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And oxygen.
And oxygen. And your electric bicycle that I assume you rip around town in.
Yeah, I do actually. But to be fair,
that, like...
my the shitty drug dealer that lives on my street promised that he would sell his motorcycle yesterday and didn't, so he's outside revving it right now. So
as a person who has sold many motorcycles on Craigslist, that is not a high percentage shot. Mm-hmm. I'd give him another week or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's clearly selling it to either one of his clients or another drug dealer because
it's
modded out to be hard to track. So,
VIN number? Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's probably just scratched right off the license plate. It does have a license plate, but it's bent vertically upward, so you
flipped
can't,
up. Yeah.
You can't see it.
That old thing. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like having no taillights. That's a good way to get pulled over, and that's not a thing I'd presume you'd want if you were a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah.
This is
anyway
semi-related. We're watching Gone Girl yesterday, and like, there's so many scenes in that movie where I'm watching, and it's like, man, it's a good thing she didn't get pulled over, because her whole plan would have been fucked if she got pulled over while driving covered in blood, or while littering out her window on a very busy bridge. Like,
She's a rich white lady, though. You stand a pretty good chance of not getting pulled over just generally. Driving an Audi Q5 around, I would assume.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That movie's okay. Zach's also here. I didn't mention that Zach was here because I was so busy berating Seth. What's up, Zach?
I mean, as is the style at the time.
the time being 2.5 minutes ago.
So I have a little bit of news for holidays this year. My partner bought me a Blu-ray player because I've been wanting one for a long time and just being unwilling to commit to buying a decent one. And she helped me. She was like, hey, let's go start a collection. So like we've got a bunch of Blu-rays now. And last night, we have just enough that we decided we have to pick an organizational structure. Since,
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we decided that we're going to organize them by the hotness of the first billed person in each movie.
I like that. That's a good system.
I do like that too. The fun part of this is when you take one out, it feels like a really good opportunity when you put it back to really reassess the entire collection.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Every
times
time.
May have changed. This is not an objective and a set in stone kind of scale.
Sometimes so. You change your mind. Yeah.
So, like, so what's that's cool.
Yeah. What's your right to left or left currently. To right or up to down or whatever the fuck
well,
you're doing?
Barry Lyndon lives in the hottest spot.
No,
forever,
opposite. Barry Lyndon is ice cold because Ryan O'Neill. Oh. Is the first billed person in Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
He does hit kids. It's not a very attractive
yeah,
statue.
Yeah, exactly. True. So right now, our number one spot is Moonstruck, because Cher.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, ooh, well, that lives there forever.
Yeah.
Bro, sure.
Yeah. and then Eyes Wide Shut, because best Tom Cruise haircut ever.
And I was going to say Nicole Kidman.
She's not the first billed person.
Stone Cold Tom Cruise butt. Like, yeah, that's...
You don't see his butt.
You not? Oh, that's Jerry Maguire.
He does. Yeah, he very much does not get naked. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I believe, if I remember correctly, number three is True Stories, the David Byrne directed movie, because John Goodman is the top billed person.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
He
true.
Looks.
Yeah.
He's really hot in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Then that. we've got the Red Shoes, because Anton Walbrook is super fucking hot in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
seems
now,
like you know. Pretty much only have hot people so far, and then Ryan O'Neill. So
right,
you should
yeah.
mix in some uggos. You gotta you gotta even this out.
Well, and the next one we've got is Crash with Spader, and I know what you're gonna say, Spader real hot. This is like the era where he started being a little less hot. So even though this, if Holly Hunter had been the top billed person, that's another dog. Another dog entirely, Monsignor.
Elias Codius would be.
Yeah. So wait. Question: what if two first build are of the same hotness? Then do you go to second build?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think that's just a judgment call and like a. It's a very fluid ranking.
No, I think you should pick something completely disparate. Like, like the color spectrum of the covers or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the next one then is Black Narcissus, because Deborah Kerr is hot. Like, there's no, can't really fight that. And that movie is super sexy. I forget where we're at now. We have a couple other ones. Oh, Bram Stoker's Dracula is in there. Gary Oldman being top billed. And he's hot in parts of that movie, but also he's Gary Oldman, and that really squicks me out. So.
Yeah. White nationalism, not hot.
Not hot at all.
But I don't think it was Gary Oldman in that super sexy set of armor.
It is. That's his armor.
I think that, like, it wasn't necessarily Gary Oldman standing.
Oh,
no,
I see what you're saying.
It's probably the guy who played the fish and everything else in everything.
Doug Jones?
Doug Jones. Yeah. And he wasn't in armor. He just became armor.
Yeah, he had all of his skin stripped off, and those are acts. That's just his musculature.
That's what Doug Jones looks like.
Yeah,
that's true.
Underneath is
we'll never really know, right?
Yeah, the thin veneer that is what we call this flesh.
The human skin suit is a thing he puts on, but underneath that is the
armor. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it's much more
practical.
Thank you. That's it. Yeah. What else? All That Heaven Allows. Jane Wyman is top billed in that one. And, you know, it's not that Jane Wyman isn't attractive. She's a Ronald Reagan ex-wife, so, like, that really fucks with it.
Oh, that's... Oh, man.
Man,
she hung out with Kissinger at some point.
Yeah, and she lost out to the throat goat, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Nancy
it's a bummer when you, like...
so good.
You look up all of these, like... old Hollywood people that you're like, man, I love them in their movies. Their movies are so enjoyable and good and great. And then you find out it's like, oh yeah, they were like the hugest Ronald Reagan supporter. It's like, and it's not just because I was friends with him in the 50s. It's because I love his politics. Like,
yeah, it's like, you could have stopped at that. Okay, all right.
Turns out that they were big McCarthyism people.
Yeah, it's like the worst thing that happened to America was when we got rid of McCarthy.
I mean, you go far enough back, pretty much everybody sucked, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like Hollywood's all right except for the gays.
I know. Like, but there were like actual people in Hollywood who were not like that. So
that's true.
Know.
Yeah.
Like,
one would hope.
Burt Lancaster was a literal, like, boots on the ground civil rights movement person. Mm-hmm. Like, he had no reason to do that, and he did. And like,
and Paul Newman, for instance.
I was gonna say, Paul Newman is famously like a saint in many ways.
And Redford as well, except Redford, Redford not so much with like relationships, although I don't believe he was like violent or anything. He's just like been divorced.
Kind of shitty,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Newman cheated on his first wife with Joanne Woodward, who he was married to for years and years and years, that till his death, you know, and they had a fuck room in their house. And I, you know, if I looked like them, I would too.
Yeah.
Jeez, everywhere is a fuck room. In fact, like them.
You know, once
it has a recessed conversation pit.
Oh, yeah. You just blast into there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time where everything was. Yeah.
Once we get some Newman and Redford into the collection, obviously things will change up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to. Boy,
I hear there's a really nice restoration of Sneakers on Blu-ray that I'll have to check out. So,
yeah. Now, Lee, so you're in dangerous territory.
Friend of the show, Kev film.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, Lee, you're in serious debt now because you've been buying all these Blu-rays.
Well, along those lines, like, this is what audiophiles do, where they get into vinyl and then they go, fuck, I have to buy a $50,000 home stereo that has all this analog bullshit.
Mm.
Like, you do need like a 4K TV, and you need like a, I don't know, $5,000 home stereo.
Plan is this Blu-ray player is of a quality that it will be the quality I need it to be until Blu-rays do not exist anymore. Like it's good enough of one.
Mm-hmm. I think that existed 10 years ago. Like Blu-rays are done-ish, right? Like,
when we need a new TV, we will be getting a 4K TV at some point.
Yeah, but then when it sounds like shit and you want
you guys bring up the sound system all the time. I can barely hear to begin with. It don't fucking matter to me.
But what if it was all around you? Would that make it easier to hear?
No, I hate surround sound. I hate it.
It freaks me out.
I'm like a dog. I don't know what's going on.
We watch so much pirated shit, and then they've started putting out pirated shit that does have surround sound in it. And then I finally got enough a computer that can do it and the receiver that can do it. And then I can now just do this thing. And it is like, it's like when you get a new car, that first drive. But every time it is like it brings me true joy that I cannot describe. It's
for me,
so good
for me watching something in surround sound is like it's the 4th of July and my owner is out partying and they forgot to give me my anxiety medicine and my thunder
your ace promazine.
Wait, so fair enough. When you replace everything, why don't you just create like a 5D experience for yourself?
Oh, a Disney's Lilo and Stitch, where things come out of your couch and there's water that sprays.
Yeah, you're just gonna be sprayed with very stagnant water.
Yeah.
I'm watching Waterworld. He just pissed in a jug. I can smell the piss.
The Red Shoes has never been so realistic, but our house is moldy as fuck. There's liquid everywhere.
Ballets are sweaty. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my big news this week.
That's
great. That's really nice.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to send me Blu-rays with a suggestion of where I should sort them into the collection, please do.
Now I have 40
Blu-rays.
Blu-rays?
Oh.
Blu-rays. Okay. I have many of them. None of them that you would want. I think I have Wanted. I have some of the new Star Trek movies.
Some of those are okay.
Yeah.
Wait. So when you guys say Blu-rays, is that like a snake bite sort of situation? Like it's like a Blu-ray Ban sort of thing?
Oh, you mean like Pit Vipers? Like
Pit Vipers. Yeah.
You know, I think I'm
going
to need to get a pair to watch these movies.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Something to hide behind because it's too real otherwise.
Yeah. I can reach out and touch James Spader's hand touching Rosanna Arquette's leg wound that's supposed to be a vagina. Yeah.
I was going
to
say, you're watching the movie Crash and you're going to touch someone's hand is your first pick? Are you sure? You can get a mulligan on
that
one.
I tried to read that book one time. And
I think Cronenberg would be just embarrassed.
Yes, agreed.
I tried to read the book Crash once, and I made it like 50 pages, and the word schmegma occurred so many times that I was just like, I'm not here for this.
Yuck. Wowee.
Yuckers.
It was too, like, postmodern stream of consciousness for me.
Yeah, and also, like, change it up and say dick cheese every once in a while. Jeez.
This was the problem I had with the romance novel that ruined our book club. I thought the story was perfectly serviceable.
Oh, I gave up way before that.
The sex scenes were so dull. Like, pick a different word for cock. Like, you've said cock so many times. You are a writer. You have a thesaurus. There's more than one website that is a thesaurus. You could just go to several. Like,
You don't have to say cockatrice. You can also use like a manticore or like any number, like, you know, like a kelpie or like some kind of sea serpent or something. But
you know, I said earlier that we would all get on the same level at some point, and I am increasingly not sure that that's going to happen.
I don't know why you thought that was going to happen.
Seth is really on one tonight.
Yeah, whatever road I'm going down, it's not changing. I'm drinking Malort tonight, so like it's only getting worse.
Baby. Well, baby, drinking Malort and came up with a movie. Wowzers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of which, Lee's faking a movie this week.
That's true.
So what are you faking, Lee? What's happening? What's this?
I am faking.
What
the
are
movie.
You doing? What?
I am faking the
what
movie.
What are you faking, Lee?
Take me now, God.
Damn it. I have to blow my nose after that. Oh God. I snotted all over my mouth.
I like to call that face smegma.
No, I'm faking the movie Colors, starring Sean Penn, Maria Conchita Alonso, Robert Duvall, Don Cheadle, and Damon Wayans, and I got that out only because Seth was taking a drink when I started talking.
Yeah, it's really strategic timing. Well done.
Yeah.
There were many people we didn't give you.
Yeah. I don't
even. You want to hit me up?
Tony Todd was in there.
Oh, I love Tony Todd.
Yeah, Tony Todd.
Oh. Apparently Mario Lopez is an extra. Yeah. Not billed, but he's in there.
The guy who played the lead in Cool Runnings.
Dougie Doug?
No, his name is like Leon Robinson, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
He plays High Top?
He plays Killer Bee, which I don't know who the fuck that is.
I couldn't keep any names straight. There was one of the sort of unnamed noun, because I don't want to give it away, people in there that I was like, that guy looks very familiar.
He just had very different hair, but
Malachi himself, Courtney Gaines.
I have your woman, Outlander.
That was weird. We'll get to why that was so weird, but go ahead.
Because he was playing his character from Children of the Corn in the middle of a different movie.
That'd be fun.
Well, you're not totally wrong.
It was a stealth sidequel. Okay.
Yeah.
So here is my mountain of failed ideas. I'm just going to run through them pretty quick here.
What are you, Thomas Mann, because you've got a magic mountain?
Seth got me on his level.
Oh, I was just going to say, can you pre-type all your jokes into the chat and we'll thumbs up, thumbs down them? I feel like we need a vetting system.
That one was good, 7 hours long now.
That was a good one. So
we like that one, so disregard.
It's just dead air of me saying, wait, hold on, I got another one. And you're like, no, it's still not funny. Why do you keep typing the same thing?
That's the same one.
No, but this time, wouldn't it be funny?
That is how we do funny, all three of us. So,
All right, so here are my failed ideas. True Colors, a Cyndi Lauper biopic.
You changed the name, but okay.
Right, yeah. For a lot of these, the reason I didn't go with them is because it involved changing the name. So,
gotcha.
So no to that one. Hmm. Yeah. True Colors, more like New Gullers. No, that's nothing. Colors, : A Shine Story. So it's like a prequel or a sequel to Shine, but I didn't want to watch Shine to like...
What the fuck is Shine?
Oh, let me tell you what it's about, because I don't want to watch that for the show. Jeffrey Rush plays a piano, an Australian piano prodigy who, like, maybe is neurodivergent, but, like, in the 90s, so he's, like, quirky. Based on a real guy. Anyway.
Wow. I mean, you're in it, or you're in one, so...
Yeah, like... you're right. Thanks, Barbosa. Colors, True Colors, more like Poo Mullers... People who mull poop and sell it to yuppies, the ultimate snobs versus slobs, because rich people drink poop. No, definitely not that.
We view the effort it takes to type something out very differently. Your bar is so much lower than mine.
Another Disney and or Pixar movie about acceptance starring colorful blobs who aren't so different after all. I feel like this has been the last, like, 12 Disney and or Pixar movies. Yeah.
That's by far the most marketable one, but
right now, kids love colorful blobs, it turns out.
Parents love a movie where they think their kids are learning something, where they're actually just looking at colorful blobs. Yeah.
I love colorful blobs, too.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean,
what does that say about me?
Oh, you're a kid at heart. And then... I think this is the last one. So there's a film series from the 90s, Three Colors. It's a trilogy. It's Three Colors, red, white, and blue. Two ideas here. First is we do a bunch of American remakes of the original French movies. And then the other idea is...
Netherlands.
We jam it all together... And we turn it into a miniseries cut for TV, sort of like the Godfather saga or Baz Luhrmann's Faraway Downs cut of Australia. But then I realize that the casts are different, so, you know, we can't really do that.
Yeah, that's a good reason to not do that, I guess. Yeah, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my question is, instead of just adding something onto the name entirely, why didn't you break it up like I always do and have like Colonel Ors or something?
Because that's your thing.
It is right there, isn't it?
That is my thing. Yeah. All right, never mind.
Okay.
It could be like Sergeant Bilko.
I love that movie. Such a good. I quote that movie weekly, I think.
Mm-hmm. Or Major Pain.
I like that movie as well, but not as much. Bam Bam Bigelow's in that movie.
Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Here's my real guess.
I'm out of them.
Okay. In the Army Now.
I also like that movie.
The Kills Navy? We could go on forever.
Yeah.
Patton.
Okay. Bob Duvall is a nerd. I guess he's really good at science or something, and his dad.
This is. Already very confusing.
Okay. Let me
think. It's like the opposite of science.
Let me get it. You got four
words in and I was like, nope.
Let me get a little deeper. We'll see how confused you are then.
Dig a little deeper. Yep, go ahead.
Bob Duvall is a nerd. I guess he's like really good at science or something. And his dad, Sean Penn, is a teacher at the high school. By the way, Robert Duvall is playing a teenager.
Okay, I love it now.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe he just has on like a fuckload of pancake makeup to make him look a little less craggy, but he's still like bald
and a wig.
And shit.
He's gotta have
he's bald and not. Shit.
Is it intentionally bad or just accidentally bad?
Well, it'll all make sense at the end.
This is like a 21 Jump Street sort of situation.
Ooh, hello, fellow teens.
It'll all make sense at the end.
Okay,
so. He gets picked on, and he can't really find his place in the school until one day he gets assigned the task of the movie. Basically, his dad volunteers him to put on the school's pep rally. Because he's like, this will get you to hang out with kids and friends and stuff. Now, this school has zero school spirit. So he has to dig really deep. Yep. He has to dig really deep to get people all jazzed about the football team or the basketball team or the swimming team or it doesn't matter. Whatever team it is.
Wait, can I guess what happens?
Yeah.
Does he spike the water supply with LSD?
No.
They all see colors? No. Yeah. I was thinking like a camp color war situation.
Okay. These are good ideas. That's not the one I did, but these are good ideas.
Sure.
So this is where I started phoning it in.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Naturally. He comes up. He comes up. Yeah, the whole movie, basically.
The man is drinking Malort right now.
That's true. I can't read anymore.
He comes up with ideas for the as he's coming up with ideas for the pep rally. We see him flashing back to different lessons he's learned from all the teachers around the school, and then he like applies these things to the pep rally. Like, he makes dope indoor safe fireworks, and we see a flashback to his chemistry class with Maria Conchita Alonso, where he learns about safe lab conditions and titration and shit.
He does this in a real way, not in like an 80s ski race kind of movie.
I mean, it's a little bit of both.
Okay. He knows how to put goggles on so he doesn't get hydrofluoric acid into his fucking eye.
You know, Carol didn't wear her safety goggles, and now she doesn't need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Squeaked a binge quote in there. Great job.
Oh, that's an actual safety poster that was in my high school.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking...
We had those, you know,
Carol's a burn victim in the binge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. Right, right. Yeah. The the nurse or the lunch lady. I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so like, he makes the indoor fireworks, and it's because he knows about labs from his chem teacher. Sure. Or he'll make some really intense and like artful mural out of some interesting material that like explodes into glitter or some shit like that when the team runs through it. And
why would you make a feces painting out of with like glitter in it? That's really weird and gross.
I don't know where you got.
You said it was an interesting material for art.
Piss Christ, yeah.
And there can only be one.
Yeah, okay. So we see a flashback to like art class where Don Cheadle teaches him about how to paint frescoes and how art isn't just about like painting on a traditional canvas. And
I do really like the idea of Don Cheadle mentoring Robert Duvall.
Mm-hmm.
In art. I was going to say, in all seriousness, Don Cheadle is an art teacher. It really works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
That is a movie I do want to watch.
Agreed, yeah.
They're like, we see him get the courage to like be a really engaging MC, and we see flashbacks to Damon Wayans, the drama teacher, going through acting exercises with him and praising his charisma and timing. Like, just also doing... Damon Wayans as a drama teacher, pretty good, right?
Just doing a
making in weird little color. Noises all the time. Just,
mm-hmm. just doing Jim Carrey impressions. Oh God,
Jesus
yeah. All right.
Christ.
So finally we get to the pep rally, and the whole school is like really hostile until like the music kicks in and we see a flashback to Robert Duvall and his dad, Sean Penn. And it turns out Sean is a music teacher, and he's been composing.
That doesn't work at all.
Well, he's been composing this rad, like Howard Shore, Ride of the Rohirrim type piece of music.
Fuck yeah.
And that's the music that Robert Duvall uses at the pep rally. And Bob got the band on board to play because he's got all this charisma. Mm-hmm. And all the teachers recognize that they actually made a difference in this kid's life. And all the students see that Bob is super talented and really interesting. And then, you know, it's a big success, rousing success. Everybody thinks he's cool. They want to hang out. And then an actress who is roughly the same age as Bob... I looked this up. He's 92. So is Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie. So they're the same age. So she comes over, and she's dressed as a student. We know she's a student. And she asks him out to the homecoming dance. And he says yes. And then we end on a freeze frame of the sports team coming over and picking up Bob and, like, cheering him, you know, like, carrying him around on their shoulders. And then over the freeze frame, we get the title card. Colors, colon, Jack 2. Comma, Jack and Jill, ellipses, a film by Francis Ford Coppola. I told you it would make sense.
Right. Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, it does not make sense, no, but I knew what you were going
it
for.
It didn't, but like, yeah, cool.
Wow. I think it did.
Oh, boy.
It explains why Robert Duvall's in high school.
It does. Okay. Is that's the end of your movie?
Yeah, the title
card
whole thing.
Is at the end?
It okay, ends on a freeze frame.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
I love a movie where, surely this has happened, where you don't get the meta joke until the credits roll at the end. Has anyone ever done that? This is secretly a sequel to a different movie?
I Listen.
No, I'm into it. I'm just
saying. I mean, yeah.
Do you know how many fucking episodes we've done?
No, I get it.
At least three.
Yeah.
You're right. We have done at least... Technically, you are right.
Let me count. Yeah, it's around three.
I mean, in the grand scheme of numbers, yeah.
Yeah. What are they? Well, I'm watching that show now. I should know, but...
Numbers?
Yeah.
What? It's... What?
All right. Guys,
yes,
you're really the energy has completely dropped out of this. You really got to move to the next phase.
Oh,
man, speaking of which, so we're watching Numbers, and I've been watching it with wife on the podcast, and I tried to explain to Erica the weight fluctuation of Crummy David Krumholtz.
We just watched
Oppenheimer too, and he's kind of bigger in Oppenheimer, and I was like, this man is so transformative, and it's never on purpose. I think it's just his actual life does this thing to him, but I'm like, I love him consistently
I have an answer to this because when I went to see Oppenheimer this summer, this came up, and I was thought to myself, we've been ripping on this guy for we as a society have been ripping on this guy for like 15 years about his weight fluctuations.
Yeah.
He's been battling thyroid cancer off and on for like 15 years. Of course he has weight fluctuations.
That is a gland that will do that to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel like a real cock now.
So did I, and now I'm sharing
I don't know that I've ever like made fun of him. It's just kind of surprising every time.
Wow.
It's just
the human society we live in, there's always jokes about Krumholtz's weight. Like,
But yeah, it's mostly like interesting, and Erica was just like, why would I care about that? And I was like, good point. Okay, moving on.
I didn't make fun of him like you guys, so I'm in the
clear.
All
right.
Fucking high and mighty over here.
Yeah. Lee, guess who directed this movie?
It's Robert Duvall.
Extremely famous.
Should I give him the IMDb first, and then you can guess the
IMDb,
director?
Yes. And it's none of the actors that we gave you, but they are about that famous, I would say.
Okay, because I've seen movies that both of them have directed. That's why I guess that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
The Apostle or The Crossing Guard. Those are both movies directed by either Robert Duvall or Sean Penn.
Mm.
Okay.
One of them is good. The other one is terrible.
Oh, man. Lee, you're so smart. You know a movie.
I had that thought, too. I was like, well, you did it, I guess. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for praising me without any tone in your voice.
No caveats there. Hey Lee, do you want to hear about Colors?
Yeah.
It's a 1988 film. Okay. An experienced cop and his rookie partner patrol the streets of East Los Angeles while trying to keep the gang violence under control.
And this sounds like a sack of shit.
Now picture someone, this director that you're about to guess, anyone, let's say, trying to tackle racism in 1988
in Los Angeles.
That's how fun this movie was. Uh-huh.
What a terrific prompt. Alan Alda.
No.
You are in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of who the most New York actor director that white guy I could think of.
Yes, you have the gender, race, and age age range correct for sure.
I see. I don't know. Yeah. Tell me.
I mean, we're only 4 years out from Rodney King, but oof, boy, it is not done well. Think of Easy Rider and
is it freaking Jack? Did Jack direct this?
Other one.
No, yeah, the other one.
Oh, fucking the dead one. From Easy Rider, the one who died. Peter Fonda.
No, it's Dennis Hopper.
Oh, it's Dennis Hopper.
Other one. Yeah. Oh. Dennis Hopper.
Got it.
I think wrote and directed. Did he write it? No, he didn't write it. I think there was a trivia that said he, because he's a cock, didn't love the script, and so they did like rewrites on the day of kind of stuff.
So he did enough rewrites to get a credit?
No, he did not get a credit. But he was apparently a pain in everyone's ass. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard that about him.
Yeah, indeed.
They did make fun of him a bunch in, I think, the first Muppet movie.
Hmm.
Do they? Yeah, because the evil corporation that wants Kermit the Frog's legs is called Hoppers, and Dennis Hopper makes a cameo appearance in there.
Oh, I don't remember him making a cameo. I'll have to watch the Muppet movie again.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm not doubting you.
This is a reason for me to rewatch the Muppet movie, which is a great fucking movie.
Why are there so many? Oh, that's a good song. It's very
moving right along. When that comes on in the car, because it's in my Spotify, because
hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, my partner.
You said
always...
when that comes on in the car, like it was just a normal fucking sentence. Well,
you know, my partner always looks over at me, and I was like, I'm like, what? She's like, I want to see how long it takes before you start doing voices, because it's gonna happen.
Zero seconds. I would assume. Is. Yeah.
You know, every man has a Kermit. Every man of our age at least has a Kermit.
That's true, I know that for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's like, oh, I'm disappointed that this sex playlist has too much Weird Al on it. That's not a problem.
Am I supposed to, like, pump to something other than Everything You Know Is Wrong?
Come yeah.
On. No, it's or, Albuquerque. And when the song's over, yeah. You know you can finish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. And
you have exactly 11 minutes to...
Yeah.
Was it good for you? Again, no, it wasn't.
At the end of Albuquerque, you go, that's about enough of that, I think.
And you're also doing all of the lyrics as this is happening, so...
No, it's the Austin Powers joke. It's you finish and you go, and I'm spent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. All right. I have a not much longer summary of this movie.
Yeah, there's not.
Because it's really, not a lot happens. Not a lot or a good. Lot happens. None of consequence.
No, yeah. I,
yeah.
Okay. Sean is. Yeah, it's exactly the thing you think. Sean is an early career cop. Bob is a late career cop.
Mm-hmm.
So. It would have been funner if they did
it's like
your
a training
thing.
Day thing. Yeah.
If Bob was the younger Jack. Cop,
oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've both been assigned to CRASH, which is an acronym, loosely a gang unit in LA.
Yeah.
So we see lots and lots and lots and lots of establishing stuff to make it clear that the Bloods and the Crips are quite active. I guess they were kind of new at this point. CRASH
stands for Community Resources Against Street Hoodlums.
This was the first note that I took. Putting hoodlums in an official police acronym seems fucking unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild shit.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that's real. I didn't look it up.
It was. No, that's what it is. That's what it's called. And it existed
in the movie, but you mean in the,
real
the
life? From 1979 until 2000 when it was finally disbanded. That existed. Woofer.
In this current millennia.
Yeah, I mean, barely, but yeah.
Yeah, that's not
great. It lasted through the Matrix somehow.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is how I demarcate the century.
Yeah, it's AM and BM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of history before the Matrix is shit, so it's perfect.
It's true.
Oh, okay. So our two cops and some other cops that don't matter are routinely shaking folks down, as cops are wont to do.
Yeah.
It's very clear early on that these cops are mostly dicks.
Bad cops.
I don't know if the movie takes a moral stance on that. It kind of seems like it doesn't.
Well, no,
it just is like this is what happens, we have corrupt police,
and it's like, but don't you think they deserve to be corrupt?
Yeah. Right, well, gangs are bad, so like, well, yeah, shake them down.
But
like,
so basically Sean Penn is like being highly violent and highly aggressive towards everyone. And
Sean Penn?
I know, it's crazy. But then Robert Duvall
is
like, hey, I...
Are all of the gang members wearing Madonna costumes?
Like, hey-o. No, sort of Robert Duvall's character like is... actually a decent cop where he's a lot of de-escalation, like he's still a cop, so he's a bastard, but he's still like generally like, hey, he accosts people that are like hanging out on the street, but they know him and he's like, yeah, just go home. Like there is some of that
where he is obviously meant to be the moral good character in terms of cops, but there is also some we ain't got time for the paperwork. Like, where he's just like, we can't, you got to pick which fish you're going to try to fry.
Yeah.
Like,
so is he morally good trouble. Or is he
just which is like, not a morally good is, stance. That's just a just stupid like, cop
the reality of this job is we got to let some people go. And
well, I,
it's like half and half.
I think it's half and half because he, like, his little moralist story that he tells Sean Penn after he's too aggressive is like, hey, don't rush into things. Rather, take your time and get the things you actually want, but still everybody is fucking guilty automatically, so it's okay if we shoot them. So it's like...
Mm. Yeah. Some of his viewpoints are kind of the right ones, but in the context of 1988 and this movie, they are not well-motivated.
No. Yeah, it's like my dad, who was a corrections officer for decades, and both distrust the police... but inherently believes that anyone who gets arrested is probably guilty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. It's contextual. You stay in that context for long enough. I buy that that's the way you end up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking
confusing.
It's not good, but...
No, it's not. Yeah. What a bummer. Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
moving on. We follow a few of the gang members and the goings-on... it's like gang stuff you'd mostly expect in a 1988 movie. There's a prominent blood who dies and his funeral then gets shot up by the Crips. That's sort of like the first big event of the thing.
It's like in Big Trouble in Little China.
Maybe?
Kind of.
Okay.
No, they're like a kid, like the blood dies in an explosion or something at the very beginning. I think
yeah
I don't know, and I was watching this at 1.5 times, and then about an hour into this movie I just gave up and I wasn't paying attention at all anymore
you didn't miss much.
I know
there is some stuff at the funeral where like the community, obviously all of the family members of this guy who died, and then the pastor, I guess, who is giving the thing is like very clearly like, gangs are bad, they're fucking up our community, blah blah blah. So like they got some of the stuff kind of right, but like it's more of a pro cop movie than anyone would like, but again, 1980s, like I wouldn't expect anything else. So this high top guy is our gang member that seems to be of some consequence at this point. They had him on simple possession. This is where Sean was like ready to ring him up, but Bob Duvall stepped in to Seth Sand and was like, hey, like, choose your battles, maybe don't. But now he's like done some other shit and Sean is like mad that they didn't get him the first time. Sean's trying to bone down with this lady who I believe is Maria Conchita Alonso.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
She is part of the community, not obviously a fan of cops, doesn't like how he deals with the community. So this is the cat and mouse tedious romantic subplot thing that like,
yeah. And later fucking Sean Penn, like spray paints her nephew in the face or her cousin in the face.
Yeah.
Like just spray because paints his face green. Because he was doing graffiti. Spray painting.
Yeah. And then Sean Penn then is like, oh, sorry, didn't realize it was your cousin. And she's like, you missed the point entirely, you dumb fuck.
Fucking don't abuse people.
Yeah. Yep. So eventually they do ring up High Top and he gets super beat up in jail and he rolls on somebody. Like, this is where I also started like not entirely paying attention.
He rolls on the like main Mexican guy who's I think Frog, right? Maybe
Frog is that guy's name. Yeah,
because he was always an informant for the police, or like at least like had a good relationship with Duvall, so that they like, you know, he was keeping the gangs at least on the mostly the up and up, and Duvall was like, hey, I know this guy, he'll like stop any major issues, like it's still
he was like trying to the like live and let live kind of situation. This movie tries to be very complex but it doesn't succeed at like explaining any of it, so it's really hard to keep track of.
A dumb person's version of smart,
maybe. Like it's pretty much like it's too many characters.
So
not enough plot, because the plot is basically we're in a training day ride along and
it's just training
and day. Then pretty much nothing happens. So, mm-hmm.
So yeah, getting to the end, the one main gang left because a bunch of people died, a bunch of people went to jail. Mm-hmm. Do a big old dirty drive-by for old time's sake. It's not clear why this is motivated at all, but just like, I think this is again Dennis Hopper and the presumably white writers being like, they just do drive-bys for
fun. They do drive-bys like, all the time.
I don't think that's like how that works. And then they go up to this lookout point that they all hang out at, and the cops confront like 50 fucking dudes. There's maybe 7 cops. All the dudes just back down. They just all put their guns down. I was like, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's very confusing.
This is a movie thing. Like, I don't even mean a movie from the past thing. This is a movie thing where like an authority figure shows up with a gun and everybody puts their guns down. Like,
yeah. All of a sudden, the characters that do not respect any of this authority are just like,
the characters who have been saying things time. Like, I'll kill anybody, or I don't care, I'll kill a cop. But it's like, oh no, the cops are here.
Oh,
be on our best behavior.
Yeah. Like on the morning of the third day when Gandalf shows up at Helm's Deep. Like that.
That doesn't seem like the same thing. Like I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Well, an authority figure arrives and a bunch of bad guys fall down.
They fall down because the Rohirrim roll over them, and also Gandalf uses magic on them, like sunlight magic.
I was gonna say, I assume there was magic involved.
And then also Fangorn Forest uproots itself and eats them.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point with bringing that up is I'd rather talk about this than anything to do with that movie.
Speaking of that, I have a hopefully quick diversion. I watched a short video the other day, and it was about Christopher Lee. May he rest in peace.
He's a fucking badass.
Very interesting life.
Yes, and so he was in, like, a very secret military...
He was in the British Secret Service during World War II with Ian Fleming. Yeah.
Yes. So when he dies in, what, the second one, I think?
Saruman?
Yeah.
Yeah, Saruman.
So he dies off screen. It's in a deleted scene from Return of the King.
Yeah.
Okay. So in they the filmed books,
it happens much later.
But. Yeah. Right. I guess he gets, like, stabbed or whatever.
Yes, Green Wormtongue turns on him after he's lost all of his powers.
Yeah. Okay, so Peter Jackson is doing the commentary at this point, and he, I guess he was giving Christopher Lee direction on how to act when one has been stabbed in the back. And he said, Christopher turned and said, that's not how it happens. And he goes, and for a second, I thought, I kind of know his backstory. Interesting. And he goes, and then I realized he has either seen or done the stabbing of people in the back. And he goes, and then I shut my fucking mouth and let him do whatever he wanted to do. Yeah, and apparently that like is in that scene that you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's I can see why they cut it.
Yeah, I mean, from the theatrical release of Two Towers, they don't even show Fangorn Forest eating the orcs.
That's true. Ooh. Yeah,
that's cut out.
I get the ending and the pacing reasons to not do the scouring of the Shire.
It is really long. Like the director's cut of Two Towers is like 3.5 hours.
It's also significantly worse.
Like, yeah, it's way worse. Yeah, like, thank God Peter Jackson had editors, because boy, oh boy. It's harder to watch. Just like this movie.
Yeah, as I say, we're almost done. Pardon.
Oh, right.
So when these guys are all sort of surrendering, one hauls off and shoots generally in the direction of the cops. It only hits Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through his vest. I think it was a shotgun, and those would absolutely not go through a vest.
No, it wasn't a shotgun. It was some kind of automatic, like a...
Oh, okay.
I thought
he had like a...
It had cop-killing rounds.
People
used to talk about in the 90s a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the names for guns yet, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask.
Well, I mean, Clinton did the full famous assault weapon ban in the 90s that didn't have any effect on crime whatsoever, and then Sunset, and then also didn't have any effect on crime. So it's like, almost like when you arbitrarily
mass shootings
guns.
Yeah,
skyrocketed when that ban ended.
Shootings.
I don't think it was based on the band. Maybe it was.
No, okay. it matches up really, really well.
The dates of the band ending and the increase in mass shootings are the same.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Yeah. I have a confusing relationship with guns. I don't know that it decreased much crime.
Sure. Yeah. But it certainly has had a real bad effect when it ended.
Well, the only thing about the gun ban is there was a grandfather clause, so every gun that would have been banned that existed already, you could just keep. So, like, there were plenty of them out there already.
Sure.
It's a really complex... But I feel like most mass shooters are young people
who didn't own those guns in the early 90s.
And then it, and nowadays, it turns out that people that buy assault rifles now are shooting up their workplaces or schools.
Usually... Or the parents of kids that go and shoot up schools. Yeah. Rough stuff. Anyway, Bob gets shot, goes through the vest. He dies. I think this is our the good guy gets got, so we're supposed to be sad moment.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it.
Because Sean Penn is just weeping over his body. And I'm like, you guys didn't even really like each other that much. So
no, they didn't build the relationship there nearly enough for anybody to give a shit.
But Robert Duvall had Sean Penn over to dinner to his house once.
That's true. You have a nice upscale dinner.
Yeah, that did happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We see Sean.
They had shrimp. They had some shrimps.
You'd hope so. Oh, they did. You're right. He remarks about how expensive they were. And one of the trivias was that in today's prices, it would be $32 a pound or something. I was like, that is pretty fucking expensive.
I don't know. That expensive. Jesus.
I don't know. Not now, I think.
Yeah. Wild caught in the LA ocean where it's
the LA River, you know, dry.
Where they go to race cars.
Exactly. Where every car scene in every movie from Grease to Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a book title right there. And then it's going to be a book about the hydrological interesting facts about, Southern California.
Oh, so it's more about Chinatown.
Yes.
And almond farming?
Ooh. Tilapia.
Tilapia. Mm-hmm.
More words. Okay. At the very end, we see Sean mentoring.
This movie's not over? Jesus Christ.
We're so close. Wrap it up. We see Sean mentoring a new cop sometime later, and he repeats the Bob School of Policing line to New Jack, but it's not clear at all at this point that he has actually learned anything or become a better human.
He also flubs it like twice. He's like, it's the other character does this thing, and then they do this. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
It's stupid. This movie is very dumb. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's it. That's the whole thing. It is just shy of 2 hours.
Well, that sounds awful.
Oh, no, it's exactly 2 hours.
Yeah,
apparently.
It's
got worse.
All right, Seth, things? I have just a few.
I have fucking nothing. This movie sucks.
Cool, great. All right, Marlon Wayans is in there very, very briefly. Is it Damon?
Damon is.
Oh, shit.
Damon's the person that you guys gave me.
Yeah.
Well, let me keep... Oh, it is Damon. Okay, yep, my bad. Well, there's only like 7 of them, so...
That sounded worse than I think you thought it sounded.
I mean, Wayne's brothers.
I know what you meant. I know who you are. But yeah.
He is immediately a scary movie character. Like his character in this, he's just doing.
He's just making little weird noises and talking very quickly. That's it.
Yeah, it's
in
so
a
bizarre.
High pitch.
Yep.
It's
Courtney Gaines, who we alluded to earlier, is also doing this thing where he's just in the he has maybe 2 or 3 lines in the whole movie, but it's like, who the fuck is this guy? Why is he there?
Yeah, and
this
he's just
ginger white guy.
And he's just in the middle of this gang, and I'm like, huh, all right.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
I often wonder, like, you know, all movies get cut down from what they film. So like there's often just a random person who's like in a scene and it's like, this seems pointless. And and the only real explanation is they were in much more of the movie and this is just what remains of them.
Right.
Like, 'cause you wouldn't drop them in for one scene just to have them there for one scene.
Yeah. But at that point, like we did not need Courtney Gaines. We did not need Damon Wayans. Just remove them entirely. Like, they added literally nothing. I mean, I can't imagine how they would have. Like,
what I imagine happens is, like, it's just too hard to cut around. They cut out as much as they can, and then there's something that's too hard to remove.
Yeah.
In the one scene, they shoot up one of the houses that the gang's hanging out at, and Courtney Gaines is featuring very heavily because he's just standing awkwardly in the middle, and it's like that kind of thing, I think.
I think you may be right that he's really a Kazuo Ishiguro novel in this. He's The Remains of the Day.
Oh, wow.
You feel good about that?
I do.
Are you happy with how that worked
out? I was looking at the bookshelf across from me where I have several Ishiguro novels. I was like, it's not The Buried Giant.
It's not Never Let Me Go.
It's not Never Let Me Go. It's not The Artist of the Floating World. I don't know what's going on here.
Lit jokes that aren't really jokes.
You made a joke.
Lit observations.
I was just naming books.
That's fair.
So this is 1988. The rap from this era, which features heavily in this movie, is
Seth, you drinking a Corona?
No. I'm drinking a Stella Artois CDL.
Whoa.
I just saw a clear bottle and I assumed.
Did you go to 2009 to get that? I didn't even know that was a thing anymore.
They're pretty good. It's a reasonably dry cider.
It's cheap compared to other
fancier ciders. So
I switched over to a natural light lemonade beer thing that
we all noticed. We just weren't going to say
strawberry lemonade natural light that I've had in my fridge for like 5 months.
This thing that is a summer specialty now in December.
about the remains of the day.
Came back around. Well done. So this is 1988. There's rap music in this movie because it's about gangs and whatnot. But 1988 rap is the least hard, least scary rap possibly imaginable.
So it's all like Sugar Hill Gang. Like...
Yeah, it's all like, my name's Sean Penn, and I'm here to say I'm a racist in a major way.
Did you write that earlier this week?
Obviously, yes. Yeah. 100% yes.
I mean,
just imagine you walking around the house just like, babe, major way.
That's the formula. You just change like two words and it's
I get it.
But that was literally what was in this movie. And they're trying to be all like hard about it. And I was like, well, they didn't have any other options. But like in 5 years, rap was going to be very different.
Sure.
I think a song by Ice-T, and Ice-T is reasonably at the time.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah.
Corny rap and be like,
what I was going to point out is the rap that Dennis Hopper and the people who made this movie would be aware of.
Yes,
at this
for sure.
time.
Yeah.
Versus.
I mean,
because I'm sure it existed.
They didn't get a consultant, certainly.
Right. One of the large tracks is by Rick James.
Famous rapper Rick James.
Right.
Rick James was in a band with Neil Young at one point.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they called the Mina Birds.
Drugs, I guess.
Yeah. All I know about Rick James is he's a super freak.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was written down halfway through the movie. I think we're supposed to know if Sean or Bob are the good quote-unquote cop, but I honestly don't at this point. Like, they seem to mostly want to go about policing in different ways, but there's not one of them that's, like, obviously on the side of moral good.
It's not an Ethan Hawke being shocked by Denzel Washington.
Where
it's
you're
just
like...
two shitty guys being shitty in different ways.
No. Yeah, where you're like, okay, Denzel's the bad guy 4 minutes into Training Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this movie didn't go hard enough in some ways and went way too hard in other ways.
It's a mess.
Seth, you and I talked about this today when you were watching. The amount of time the fuzz breaks down someone's door and find people actively fucking is statistically impossible.
It's just...
it happens like 80% of the time they go into somebody's house, it's into people having sex. It's
That's just
baffling.
Dennis Hopper. That's just Dennis Hopper wanted to film people fucking. That's all that is.
Yeah.
I think it
happened at least like 3 or 4 times in this. And they just drag a naked woman out of a house, just fully nude, merkin and all. And like,
it was 88. It might have been natural.
They could have given her a blanket or something, let her grab a blanket. on the way out. It's fucking,
and it's not just like a passing shot. It like Dennis lingers. Like lingers on it, and it's like, man, this is not that movie. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross, and also like it's always cop raids in the middle of the day. So that means neither of these people have work. What's up with that?
Well, they're gang members. I think that is typically the job, right?
I guess like, that's true.
That's the job. Well, there's some trivia, not a ton of trivia.
You guys don't like Mission Impossible Fallout? All right, that's fine.
I didn't just watch it,
but they all blend together.
I didn't see it. Is that the motorcycle jump one where he's trying to kill himself, but?
No, that's Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Oh, okay. Well, that's specifically that one, but also all of them.
Yeah, that's true.
The man hates a helmet.
The man does hate a helmet. That is true. Yeah.
So, the weirdest trivia I saw is, and I think this is verbatim, I'm sure I copied it directly, the film has been blamed for inspiring gang violence in the country of Belize, with many members of the Crips and Bloods deported to that country from within the United States in the 1990s, bringing the film and their own gang affiliations with them to the country.
What the fuck?
So Belize was like a pretty chill place, and then they had organized gang stuff after this movie came out, and people took the VHS, I guess, down there, and they were like, hey, that looks cool, let's do that.
I don't believe that.
That sounds,
I also don't, but
that
like,
sounds
I,
insane.
It was really wacky, so I had to write it down.
That sounds like when I was in high school and I used to add crazy things to the Wikipedia articles of lesser known presidents and see how long it took to get them taken down. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, weird. Alright.
Yep. Okay, a couple more. The
75
producers...
days on the Millard Fillmore Wikipedia one time. I had a thing up for 75 days.
Wait, what did you write
about?
Is
that on your
Millard
resume?
Fillmore?
That should be on your resume.
Yeah, it should be.
It was something about, like, he had, like, a really weird bathing
ritual.
Ritual or something that I made up, and like, it stayed for 75 days.
Here's the thing. That doesn't seem that implausible. I bet a bunch of people read that and they were like, meh.
Yeah. Okay.
I was inspired by John Quincy Adams, who started every day with a swim across the Potomac.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That he didn't do for exercise, he did for bathing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say cold plunge, but so hot right now. Yeah.
What?
Cold plunges? It's like the new thing.
What? Yeah. Do you mean that thing that we've been doing in Russian saunas for fucking ever?
Yeah. Yeah, but now you can buy like a $10,000 thing and put it like in your garage, I guess?
You come out of a 170 degree sauna, then you jump in a freezing pool.
70? 70 seems high.
Yeah, it's really hot. Oh, if you're doing a Finnish style, you can go that hot because they're dry. The Russian one will probably be a little lower, but still. Yeah, but then you just hop in a frozen lake or whatever.
Yeah, and then you die and then...
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
I've only had 4 heart attacks from this. Like, it's cool.
Sure.
It's what the body needs. Intense temperature changes.
Yeah. Well, no, that's literally how they're selling these $10,000 machines. So somebody believes that. Yeah.
Wait, so Joe Rogan has been advertising these things, I assume.
Wait,
got it in one, my guy.
Oh my god. Wait, is it like a reverse griddle? It's like a regular griddle, and then you hop onto a reverse griddle, and you're like making Cold Stone ice cream on your body.
We got to get George Foreman on the phone. There's a money making opportunity for him here.
It's got to put like 14 Georges through college. So,
that's true.
they're probably already through college based on how old he is.
He was 50 in the 90s. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was only 10 years ago. So.
This joke again.
I don't know what this bit is.
That it's hard to estimate how long. If you hear 30 years ago, what was weird? And you go, 30 years ago was the 1960s? And then you go, nope, no, it was not.
Yeah. I guess I was complaining about Seth using military time earlier, so
sure.
Me and numbers don't mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've always said that about you.
Fair enough.
The producers
despite
hired...
how much you love David Krumholtz, so.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Coming back
He's
around.
He's always been a faithful friend.
Coming back around.
True. The producers hired actual gang members as protection and as extras in this movie. And what? Two
could have filmed on a soundstage, it seems like, but you know, whatever.
Two were killed in a live drive-by during production.
Jesus
like
Christ.
This shit was like definitely happening, which is scary and weird. And I again think Dennis Hopper is maybe the worst person to like deal with
put,
this situation.
Put the entire yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Like Fred Willard. Be like, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. Lee, you mentioned that Sean Penn beats people up occasionally. And he,
like Madonna.
He in fact beat up an extra that was taking pictures of him during filming on this movie, and they had to stop production because he spent a month in jail for assault.
A month.
Holy balls.
I think he had been around the circuit a couple of times at this point, and the judicial system was like, Sean, fuck off.
Yeah,
too much.
How did they get him insured to be in this fucking movie?
Unclear. Yeah, unclear.
Man has two Oscars. We've forgiven him to the point of him having two Oscars.
That's nuts.
Nah, he still sucks though. Even like
he does suck.
More
this
modern
is what I'm
movies.
Saying.
You're like,
I'm saying don't... like, why did we do this?
Oh yeah, yeah. I never enjoy watching him. Even in The Game, a movie I like way more than other people. I'm just like, ugh, anybody else? Nick Cage, come on.
Hey, you know, Sean Penn wrote a novel. Do you guys want to guess what it's called?
I hit Madonna that one time.
Penn's Landing.
About a boy?
It's called Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff. A novel.
What? Are you doing a goof? You're doing...
Nope.
That's not
this
real.
That's his real novel. That's the title of his novel.
It's 160... Did you drink too much, Malort, and fucked up the words because you can't read? Are you sure
it's 160 pages?
Okay.
Yeah.
He was married to Madonna for 4 years? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They were both kind of out of their minds.
Fuck, that book came out in 2018.
Uh-huh. I just gotta read. Okay.
A 2018
American satirical novel written by Sean Penn, narrated from the point of view of Pappy Pariah. The book tells the story of Bob Honey, a supposed international assassin who kills elderly people with a mallet.
Why would you use a mallet?
Pappy Pariah? Do we think Sean Penn understands satire?
Penn claims the book is about morality and modern American culture.
Oh, a thing he's got a very firm grasp on.
Yeah. Remember a couple years ago, Sean Penn made a movie where he dressed and talked like Robert Smith from The Cure, but he wasn't playing Robert Smith from The Cure?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, sounds awful. I don't like any of those things. So,
cool. We talk about how much I dislike Sean Penn.
He's hurt a lot of good people. Madonna, Robin Wright, probably many others.
The thing about his two Oscars, the years he won his Oscars, was one was for Mystic River, a movie that sucks.
Oh, I hated Mystic River.
And he beat Bill Murray in Lost in Translation.
Yeah, what
which
the
is,
fuck?
Listen, Bill Murray sucks, it turns out.
Yeah.
He's a shitty guy.
Yeah.
But that is a truly wonderful performance.
Yeah,
and
he really
was never
going
to win an Oscar other than that. Uh-huh. He'd give the Oscar to Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the next one, Sean Penn wins for Milk, which, you know, I haven't seen it. You know, biopic.
Milk is pretty good. I mean,
like, important figure,
sure,
you know.
Right.
He actually, I've seen videos of Harvey Milk doing, like, actual things as a human, and he does kind of embody him. Like, you can see why Sean Penn might be an actually good actor in that movie, but, like,
I'm not saying he can't act.
Yeah.
I'm telling you when he won his Oscars.
Yeah.
No, but, like, if that had to be one of them, like, I agree with that one.
For sure.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that was the year Mickey Rourke got nominated for The Wrestler. And this was another, this dude really sucks.
Yeah, I don't want him to win shit, but that movie also fucking ruled.
But when that came out, everybody was like, Mickey Rourke, comeback, and he's going to win an Oscar for this movie.
Hey, can I take a moment, by the way? Friend of the show, Kev, big wrestling fan like Chiboy Lee and has never seen the movie The Wrestler. And we keep, really? Yeah, me and friend of the show, Jared, keep telling him, like, what the fuck are you sleeping on The Wrestler for? So, Kev, go home and do that whenever you hear this.
Yeah, I don't even like Darren Aronofsky movies, and I like The Wrestler. Agreed. So.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. Yeah.
If you ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Yeah. And you've seen me. Mm-hmm. That's the song that Bruce Springsteen did for The Wrestler.
I could tell it was a Bruce Springsteen song.
Yeah.
Based on it's your
pretty obvious. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a hunger for
Wendy.
Larry. I'm just going to sing a Bob Dylan song.
Please don't. I'm out. Wow. All the humans and cats and dogs just left the listening party.
Lena, no!
Oh, I hate it.
Thing is, if you listen to as much Bob Dylan as I do, intentionally and by osmosis, because my partner's a huge Bob Dylan fan, like, the biggest, he doesn't sound like that, like, ever.
No.
I didn't see him. I saw him live.
Yeah, me too. Like, yeah,
2009. I have also seen him live.
2004 or something, and it was a bummer.
Yeah, mine was exactly 2004. Yeah,
he was on the way out. Yeah, was he with Mellencamp? Because that's when my partner saw him.
I saw him
in
2004. With Willie Nelson of all.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I saw him, and it was just him. No,
it was just it was just him with me too. Yeah.
You're like, you're just shouting. Anybody else back there? You got anybody else?
This
is demoralizing.
I had broken up with my girlfriend at the time, or you know, she had broken up with me or whatever.
Concert.
But we had already bought the tickets, and so we ended up going.
Oh.
Post, because we're in high school, right? So.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. What else are you gonna do, right?
Uh-huh. Rough.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I remember going to see Dylan, and he played my favorite song, Desolation Row, my favorite Bob Dylan song, which is a 10-minute song on the album. Mm-hmm. It was about 7 minutes in before I knew that's the song he was playing.
Listening to Albuquerque by Weird Al.
Yeah.
No, that, when that song starts, you know what song it is.
Well, long time when I was a little bitty boy. But
I got, guys, can I say something?
Huh?
I think Albuquerque's just okay. It's not my Weird Al.
Especially the fuck dude. It's like 220 BPM. You can really... I mean, you can jackhammer that thing. You're not going to last 11 minutes, but like, it'll get you going for sure. All right, I'm glad we all agree. Issue closed.
Ooh. Oh, that was great.
Mm-hmm. So we're done. I know there's other things we're supposed to do, but we're done. Clearly.
Just barely. Yeah. That's why I only do it to the saga begins. So
next week I'll be doing a movie called Don't Tell
Me. We didn't
her
even
it's
get
me.
To the ratings, but that's okay.
Right. Oh,
do you want to not do that? I'm fine with it. This movie was shit. Made a lot of money, though.
Seth, really? Here's the thing. Say, okay, yeah, 6.7, this movie. Oh, yeah, Zoom does that thing now.
What the fuck?
6.7, did it make money? It did.
It did. It cost 10, and it made 47.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
IMDb 6.7. Seth, say two numbers out loud, and the first is Lee's, and the second is this movie.
I love this new system.
The first is Lee's, and the second is this movie. Wait, I can't even talk about Lee's movie at all?
I guess if you really fucking want to.
Oh, no, I guess I can't. So, I don't know, like a 7.5 for Jack 2.
Perfect.
I guess I like the subversion. I mean, no, I'm not allowed to say that. Okay, for this movie, I don't know, pi?
Yep, 3.14159265358359.
Look at me. Okay. I think, you know, honestly, I wear it as a badge of honor that I can only count pi to 2 decimal points.
Hey, legally in Indiana for a while it was 4, so...
Oh, wait.
Like, pi just ended legally?
No, the number was 4.
Is there a religious... Oh.
Wait, that's even crazier.
Yeah.
So people were trying to draw circles that were all fucked up?
I don't know why I got this compass out. It's just an oval every time.
The state legislature in charge of education or whatever decided that the actual number that's irrational was too complicated. The number is 4.
Can you give me an era?
Was it Betsy DeVos? What the fuck?
I honestly don't remember anymore, but I'm thinking like 60s or 70s.
This is like picking English and going, there's too many words. Mm-hmm. We're going to take 50% of the words out of all the books. Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Actually,
like Teddy Roosevelt, new American standard spelling that Teddy Roosevelt was so into.
We did look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't actually think it's worth pi. What's that other irrational number that is
E?
Yeah, E. So E.
That's like, well, I'm not going to say a thing inside.
I've never even heard of that. So
yeah, E is
it's a constant that
yeah, it's
two things. What two whole numbers it's, that I'm familiar
it's a,
with
it's
is
a,
it between?
It's a log. It's a
one
log,
and two.
It's
I
like
believe.
A logarithm.
Okay, thank you. That's all I need. Yeah,
yeah. It's actually 2.7, but that's okay.
Oh, 2 and 3. Yeah, God damn it.
But it's not worth that either. So what's a number 1.75?
He found a way. He found a way to drag it out.
Sure enough.
Hey!
All right. For me...
What is this, Rumblefish? I'm going to be in a drag race or whatever.
For me, a Ridge is a 2, and Lee, your movie was like a 5, and then you said title card at the end, Jack 2, and now it's 7.
Yeah, it's pretty much, that title card that pulled it through for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I said, wait, the title card's at the end? And you said, obviously, yes. And I went, huh? And you went, mm-hmm. And I went, okay.
Accepted.
It's because that's when I thought it up.
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Edits be damned. Mm-hmm. First one wins.
It's a Word document, Zach. I can't scroll up again.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually like gone back and fixed a movie that I've made. That's true.
I definitely have.
What is the point?
The way that I always write them is like a bunch of slapdash ideas, and then I fill them in. Like, yes. I'm like, this is how I want it to middle and end. So I'm going to write the middle, then maybe I'll do the beginning, then I'll do the end. Or maybe the other way around.
I write them like I write papers, which is like... little sentences that are like some bullshit about this, and then this thing happens, and then this is stupid, and then you just flush it out.
That's exactly what I do too.
Yeah, I don't do that for these, but that is how I write papers.
The only way.
Right, next week,
don't tell her it's me. It's me.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the boyfriend school. That's the alternate title.
Oh,
should I be writing this down?
We'll send it to you. The movie is two titles.
I like Don't Tell Her It's Me, but I like The Boyfriend School a lot more.
Well, I'm gonna lay this ground rule out right now. You can either choose one or use both. Like, you have to have a movie that encompasses both if you want both of them.
It's a ground rule double is what you're saying. Mm. Okay.
I don't know how that's a ground rule double.
Is that a sports reference?
You said it encompasses both. It's a ground rule double.
What does that mean?
Wait, how's a ground rule double encompass both?
You just said it has to... never mind. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, never mind. You're right. And on that note, initially, Sean Penn denied being the author of the book, insisting instead that it was written by an author he had met in a bar in Key West, Florida. Guys...
Was it Ernest Hemingway?
Why?
And was it at a Margaritaville?
Oh my god,
James T. Buffett.
I love this idea of like finding some tortured artist at a Margaritaville, and it's like, oh man, I bet this book's gonna be fun. And you pick it up, and it's like, this book is not.
This is
dark.
SpaghettiOs.
Dark shit.
So you're saying the book came out, was poorly received, and then he denied it was him? Is that
I don't know if I think it was like.
I think this was before when it was coming out, and it's like, oh yeah, Sean Penn wrote it, and he's like, no, it's this thing, and blah, blah. It's like, no, Sean, we know you. It's not like
also
the 19th Sean... century anymore. You can't just pretend someone else wrote your book.
You said this is 2018. Does Sean Penn not realize that his reputation can't get worse?
Yeah, it's pretty like rough.
The worst it could ever be.
Yeah, like, that's a great point.
What's the point of denying anything at this stage? Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mike Nelson from MST3K did it on his podcast about reading shitty books.
Hmm.
I'll listen to that.
Oh, well, until next week, I guess Lee is listening to other podcasts, and Zach and I are the remains of the day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's not a good ending.
Worst. Just the worst episode we've ever done. Thanks, boys. Love you.
Aw,
love you too.
Love you also.
There it is.